Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, Getaway Friday, May the 29th, 2026. 12 and a half minutes past the hour, last Friday in the month of May. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan, and the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And by the way, I did want to mention, I thought this was a nice news story. The post office is reissuing a commemorative stamp for the 250th anniversary of our country coming up in July. And the stamp that they have chosen is the Mr. Rogers stamp, which we were in Pittsburgh for in 2018 when it was unveiled, and interviewed Mr. McFeely and Walt Tsang, the man who took the picture that is on the stamp, who has since went on to his reward. And we interviewed Joe Negri, who was on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and a lot of people were there. So it was a lot of fun. Mrs. Rogers was there. She's gone on to her reward since then. That's been 8 years ago now. So in any event, they're reissuing that stamp. So if you want a Mr. Rogers stamp or a book of stamps, call your post office and see what happens.
Won't you be my neighbor?
He sounded a little better than that.
Yeah, he's. I'm not a pro. He's a pro.
Well, I don't know if he was a singer. I think he just.
After 20 some odd years or however long he did the show.
He sang a call or a song. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, when's Trump gonna put his picture on a stamp?
Well, I don't know. He's working on the $250 bill right
bill,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody should.
Oh my God.
He probably hasn't thought about the stamp yet. Why don't you send him an email and say,
see if we can get a stamp?
Yeah, we need a stamp. You know, we could sell those stamps all day long.
Well, here's the story on the money, if I can find it here. Let's see here.
Hey, what happened with those Trump cookies? Now that was just
cookies.
Trump cookies.
I didn't know there were cookies.
From Andrews?
Oh, I don't know. It was a limited time thing. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing is planning to potentially print a commemorative $250 bill with the image of President Donald Trump to mark the country's 250th anniversary. The Treasury Department spokesperson confirmed the plans in a statement, saying it was conducting appropriate planning and due diligence in response to active legislation. Should this legislation be signed into law, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is moving proactively to produce. What's that?
You know what that legislation is, don't you, they're talking about?
What, to make the $250 bill?
With Trump's picture on it.
What's that?
It's supposed to be for dead people only. So they got to get a variance on that, or, you know, that's what they're trying to do.
Well, yeah, but they're getting around that by saying it's commemorative. That's what the deal is. But it's a $250 commemorative note which will appropriately recognize the 250th anniversary of our great nation, the spokesperson told CNN. And there's a mock-up of the money which is out there. I don't know. Can't show it on radio, obviously. But there it is. So,
isn't that just a nice picture of the man?
Well, the drug dealers are going to like that $250 bill.
Why is that?
Because the reason why they did away with the $500 and the $1,000 bill is so you couldn't carry a bunch of money around where it didn't show you had a bunch of money.
Well, it is interesting. Hillary Clinton.
That's why the $100 bill, you know, is only the largest bill available, because if you're carrying a few million dollars around, you know, the $100 bills are going to. There's got to be a lot of them there instead of just a little bit.
Well, it's interesting because Hillary Clinton got a lot of response yesterday, or a lot of attention yesterday, because she posted a copy of that bill and that legislation on her Facebook page, and she said, by the end of the Trump term, it'll be just enough to buy 1 gallon of gas and a carton of eggs.
Yep.
So she put it to him. She put the old knife to the president.
Yeah, well, you know. he has it coming because his mind's on everything else. But, you know, how to help the American people out.
By the way, for people who do collect money, this is a little covered story. The semi-quincentennial quarter to honor the Declaration of Independence will be shipped to banks on June the 1st, so Monday, the U.S. Mint said in a news release. Instead of George Washington, the front of the coin will feature Thomas Jefferson with E Pluribus Unum, In God We Trust, in 1776 to 2026, while the back will have the Liberty Bell ringing and the Declaration of Independence quarter dollar Liberty and the United States of America inscribed. So that should be at the banks on Monday. A lot of people collected those state quarters when Mary Ellen helped design those back in the 90s and 2000s. So this is a commemorative 250th quarter. Be at the banks on Monday.
That's going to be neat when those come out.
Yeah, I think it'll be neat to see those. I'm interested to see those.
I wonder if they could possibly turn into collector's items to one of these days.
Well, I'm sure they will. It's a commemorative coin.
There's a limited run of them, you know, but if they keep making them that way.
Yeah, it's a commemorative coin. I think it'll be a historic. So there we go.
There we go.
Thank you for calling.
Yep.
All right, and again, the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944.
Can you buy Confederate money?
Can you buy it? Yeah, I'm sure you can buy it. Not from the government, but
No,
you could buy it from
collectors.
Yeah, traders and things like that. But new quarters coming out Monday, I think that's interesting. The Mr. Rogers stamp making a comeback, I think that's interesting. Why not? 740-383-9944. Those are both things people collect, stamps and coins. So there you have it. Go ahead, caller.
What a lovely Friday, gentlemen. How are you?
Happy Friday. Last Friday in May.
It is. Doesn't this seem like a long month?
You know it has, but I think it's because we drop Mother's Day early and we drop Memorial Day early.
Yes, and it's like normally it's Memorial Day, then the month is over. And we've got Memorial Day and then another week.
Right, another week except for Monday.
Yeah, so someone mentioned to me next week is like June 6th. I was like, already? But yeah, I guess so. Next week contains June 6th at some point. So.
Yeah, next Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, so it seems like a long month, but yet June will have gone by so quickly by next week. I know that sounds weird, but I just kind of had, I don't know, I feel like I lost a few days somewhere or something.
Well, and I think Mother's Day came early because wasn't the first on a Sunday? Because I know it's the second Sunday in May, but I think Mother's Day came rather early in May.
Yeah, I think it was the 12th or something like that. And we always go away on Labor Day weekend, and I was looking at because the Ohio State football schedule came out yesterday. The first game is Ball State, and it's September 5th. And I thought,
Ball State from Indiana?
Ball State, yes.
Yeah, I think that's Indiana.
I thought that's a late start to the season. Seems like it'd be after Labor Day. No, Labor Day is what's that make it, the 8th or the 9th of this year? So the Popcorn Festival is very late this year.
You know, on that, that makes me think of something. I hope people remember that our hometown football player, O.J. McDuffie, is coming to Marion tomorrow for an event at Tri-Rivers. It'll be 6 o'clock. Doors open at 5:30. I believe the proceeds go to a scholarship foundation or a charity, and he'll be in town tomorrow. So if you want to take your kids to meet O.J. McDuffie and go to the event, it's tomorrow, Saturday, 5:30, Tri-Rivers. The doors open. The event starts at 6. I believe there's food involved, and I think O.J. will probably speak. So he doesn't come back here all that often, so
no.
It'd be something we're seeing.
So it's a full-on dinner or event or...
Yes, let me get the cost of the ticket here. I have a flyer here. I know that there are tickets involved, but it sounds like a very fun event. And I don't think the tickets are all that hugely expensive, but the proceeds do go to I believe, an organization that he's very involved with. Let's see here.
I'm going to guess it's youth and sports related, if I had to guess.
Building Bridges, Building Gaps. And he's the keynote dinner, speaker, I would guess. And it's at Tri Rivers tomorrow, May the 30th. Doors open at 5:30. Dinner begins at 6. Tickets are only $25. That's not bad.
Oh, that's reasonable. Yeah. Yes.
So that's tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I haven't seen any advertisement for that anywhere.
That's something to do in Marion, Ohio, though.
That certainly is, at a decent price.
And it's reasonable, and you're listening to a celebrity.
Right, and he's a very nice guy, and played for the Dolphins, played college ball as well. I can't remember for who. It wasn't an Ohio team, I don't believe. But he's very well known. And apparently he's got an Emmy-winning podcast. I didn't know that, but...
What's he talking about?
Well, probably football, I would guess.
Well, he didn't have to talk about football.
I know it's on the Dolphins Network, I believe.
Oh, then it's football. yeah, it's going to be football.
I would guess.
I didn't realize that... Well, I guess I realized there were some podcasts. People have podcasts about everything.
Pennsylvania State
and made it to the NFL.
Made it to the Dolphins. And I think one of the reasons his name, as weird as this sounds, at that time... was very similar to O.J. Simpson, who was very famous at that time, movie star, football player, so on and so forth. And I think when Dolphins games were played, he got mentioned a lot because I think he was a receiver for Dan Marino, who was very popular at that time.
Apparently, he was also Dan Marino's favorite receiver.
Ah, see. Look at me knowing football
history. We all know who Dan Marino is, or at least we should even, yeah.
And apparently he had 415 catches in his career, which ranks number 4 in Dolphins history.
There you go.
I was going to say, I thought he was a pretty impressive player during his time. Of course, I was young when he was playing and didn't follow, but my family didn't follow football, so I wouldn't have known those stats. Statistician Matthew from the corner.
Well, Wikipedia. He'll be in Marion tomorrow, Tri Rivers. 5:30, doors open, show at 6. I believe there's food involved. So $25 not only to get food and O.J. McDuffie, it's going to cost you $25 to go eat tomorrow night anyway.
And some of it's going to charity.
That's right, going to
a
good cause.
A dinner and a cause. That's right.
What's new?
What's new? Okay, so I went to Cleveland.
Oh, that's right,
But yep. You know, one of the things that I enjoyed most about Cleveland, other than, you know, winning... so much winning. There was this nice little...
You sound like President Trump.
So much winning. So much winning.
You're tired of winning. You've won so much.
Let's just say that the winning has just begun. And, well, you know, I want to talk about 4th Avenue in Cleveland, because we talk about downtown and how we want downtown to be this, that, and the other, and we have all these pie-in-the-sky dreams about what downtown should and shouldn't be. I found what downtown Marion should be. It was 4th Avenue, Cleveland, this little block that's carved out. It's just restaurant after restaurant, little place to get yourself a drink, a little place to buy something, just nice little place to sit out on the sidewalk. There's no traffic. It's foot traffic only. There's live music. There's people. There's plants. There's little stringy lights. There's just, it was a wonderful time. Wonderful time. So if a downtown environment was like that, you would suck all my money out of my pocket.
So what did the win entail up in Cleveland?
Well, the win entailed the city of Marion settling with Naomi Craig. That's all I can say right now because the signatures aren't on the paperwork yet. But I didn't walk out of there defeated.
So you can't discuss this until the paperwork is signed?
Correct.
Right.
Because I would not agree to a non-disclosure agreement. I'm not going to a First Amendment case and pushing it all the way until we're sitting in front of a federal magistrate and potentially going to trial and then keeping my mouth shut about the outcome. But I have to wait until the paperwork is signed to give the details. However, the city of Marion, June 29th is the deadline for everybody to finish up their loose ends.
There you go.
But the city of Marion settled with me on a case that Ralph Smith was calling frivolous 2 weeks ago.
Well, let me ask this without any details about this, but I mean, is it a financial settlement?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did they agree to anything?
They wanted me to agree to a non-disclosure, which obviously I said no. And they also wanted me to agree to a global release, which released them from all of the bullshit that they've done instead of just the stuff that I made in the original complaint. I also did not agree to that.
And they
when I said the winning has just begun, the winning has only just begun.
Well, I guess so. my... Who was there from the city?
Mark Russell. And you know what? I've honestly got to believe that that man does not own a suit. Because I would think that if you owned one, federal court would be where you would wear it, wouldn't you think?
I've seen him in a suit. I have seen him in a suit.
Okay, well, he doesn't believe that federal court is in a big enough situation to wear his suit, which I was very surprised. Because Bill Collins had on...
Oh, Bill was there.
Bill was there. Yeah.
Did he look happy?
There.
Did he speak?
No. Yes, he did.
He did. Now you can tell us what he said, right?
He said that he understood the terms of the agreement. That's what he agreed to.
And that's all he said.
What happens is you go in. I was put in a federal jury room with my attorney. I don't know where they were put, but they were put in a room that was separate from us. And you go back and forth for 4 hours.
So the magistrate
talks to the attorneys, and the attorneys come back in and talk to you, and you cuss, and you call them MFers, and you say no, and this, and that, and the other, and you strategize, and you litigate. But seems like they spent a whole bunch more time strategizing and litigating than we did, because my attorney and I talked about his daughter going to med school and vacations and some other things, and he tried to convince me to run for office. And
who did?
My attorney.
Oh, your attorney.
He told me that, yeah, he said, I mean, the doorknob's jiggling, why won't you just turn the handle? I was like, eh. But we talked about some other things, and like, and I'll be honest with you, I settled for less money than what I wanted.
However, I
just want to put this caveat. However, him and I just basically sat in there and scotched out another half dozen lawsuits against them.
Oh, so they got more to come.
Yeah, like I said, the winning has only just begun.
Well, this is me
with vindication in my pocket this year. So after 18 months of all the shit that everyone talked, that magistrate came in there and he wanted to meet me, said, I like to see the people that are behind these. I like to talk to the people. I like to see their faces. I like to know, you know, you're not just a name on a paper. And he said, I want to tell you. And he talked to me for about 5 minutes. And, you know, this isn't really about money, is it? No, Your Honor, it's about principle. He said, that's what I thought. He said, we need more people like you in the United States. We need more people to care. We need more people to stand up and have a say in their government when things aren't being done correctly. And he wasn't vindicating when they think people, because he wasn't, like, validating me saying that the city was wrong or anything like that. He was just appreciating the fact that I took a stand for what I believed was right. And what that man said to me in the 5 or so minutes that I spent with him, everything that everybody in this community has said for the past 18 months, y'all can bite me, because a federal magistrate told me he believed me and he told me to keep up the good work, and I walked out of there and I'm getting paid. So, y'all.
Well,
I'm now a force to be reckoned with.
Okay,
bitches.
Well, I have a question.
Victory tour, Spears. Victory tour.
Yeah, well, okay, and no problem there. But what I'm saying is, but there's no agreement from the city in regard to anything other than finances, financial payout here, right?
Oh no, they just agreed that let's make this go away. Let's let this go away.
Now let me ask: Is this like house money? Is this like purchase a house money?
Oh no! I settled for much less than I was originally contemplating, only because the writing's on the wall. And my attorney even said, this is me telling what my attorney said. He said, there is no doubt that they will violate you and retaliate against you again, and we will be sitting here again in completely different circumstances. At that point, you will have been someone that successfully litigated against them, and the retaliation will be, there won't be any question about it. There won't be anything to talk about settling. He said, then we'll be talking about, as you just said, buying a house money.
Okay.
He said he's watched the videos of them. He knows. You said yourself, Bill, in the first hour, Bill Collins doesn't know how to deal with the public. He's not going to learn that just because they're writing me a check. So, yes, I just said I agreed to let this one go because there's more that are ready to be drawn up.
So what?
But there'll be another one coming. They'll retaliate against me. Somebody else will call me a stupid bitch. Somebody will wait for me in the parking lot. Somebody will scream at me. Somebody will gavel me for no reason. Somebody will viewpoint discriminate because they're all a bunch of idiots and don't know their asses from a hole in the ground up there. and we'll be doing this again.
So,
because I'm not the person that's just threatening it. I'm the person that's willing to do it, and that's what they should realize.
So what?
I'm the person willing to ride this out for 18 months and walk away with less money than I wanted just to prove a goddamn point.
Right. So my question, what was this law, this particular lawsuit, what was it exactly about?
Retaliation and suppression of speech.
Oh, okay. Now,
so this is a First Amendment case. This is a 1983 civil rights lawsuit.
So, but I guess what I'm saying
this is called precedent. So now they're going to continue to try to pass legislation to limit our ability to speak.
Well, that's my question.
Is this a good idea?
Well, no. See, that's my question. Now that you have won a freedom of speech. Well, I'm just curious that even though it was a...
I'm going to ask them, Mundo. I'm going to say, have any of you been to court and won a freedom of speech case? Because I have.
No, but my question, I guess, is now that you have won this case based on suppression of speech, that what exactly did they admit or
they nothing. That's the beauty of this.
They didn't admit anything.
Admit nothing.
So basically, they can go on doing what they want, but yet they could be sued again.
Yes, okay. They will be sued again. There is no. Can be. They will be. And clearly I know what a violation looks like because I just got a settlement out of this case. So, I mean, everyone's saying, oh, this is frivolous. She doesn't know what she's doing. Clearly I did.
Well, money is not everything, but I'm just saying.
After 18 months, this is principle-based.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it like car money? I mean, what neighborhood are we in? Because that's what the city will react to. They'll react to how much money their insurance policy had to pay out.
I know they paid more money to defend the case than they are paying me. I know that.
Right.
So they spent more money and now think about that. Let's just say I drop another case like this and come away with the same amount of money, but they've got six figures in defending it. How long is the insurance pool going to allow that to go on?
Well, that's my question. The settlement, is it five figures?
I don't know what I can discuss.
Okay. So
as
could
soon
be.
As I can, it's more than the $0 that they wanted to give me.
Okay, well, no, I'm not trying to get in any violation of anything here. It's just curiosity.
I'll let you know as soon as I will let you know as soon as the money.
Well, I hope
we'll
be the first. I think you were the. I think this was the first media outlet you did a couple years ago.
Yes.
Well, I hope you don't forget us on the free speech tour.
thanks, Scott, for being a consistent source of free speech and listening to my crazy rantings that aren't so crazy after all.
Well,
so if anything, I would hope that they would realize that I am an engaged citizen that knows what they're talking about. I don't just pull this stuff out of thin air, and I'm willing to invest my time, effort, and money for principle.
Well,
I'm not coming out big on this.
No, well, here's the thing, though. The point is, no matter who it is, and even if the callers disagree with each other, that's why I think people should not get angry with each other caller-wise, because even if you disagree with somebody, the point is that I think everybody is just trying to come up with a better way for the city to function and to live a better life in Marion, Ohio. And however people think that that's coming off, you know, too bad. I don't like it when people criticize people's ability to criticize. I think you should be allowed to criticize, and maybe that's why I don't like this popcorn festival thing, is that you're allowed to criticize an act. You're allowed to say, this is not my favorite year for entertainment. You're allowed to say, I like country music. You're allowed to say that.
But between that and the people governing us, and I get your point, we are allowed to speak freely. That's the beauty of the United States, and that's one of the things, believe it or not, that I really want to preserve is our right to disagree. But our government does not get to suppress us and retaliate and fight us and call us names and threaten us and intimidate us and get by with it. And City of Marion, you're being put on notice. It's done. And I just found out that Sean Barr was elected to the Marion City Republican Central Committee president or whatever. They just elected him as one of their big-time leaders, and he's up there calling citizens stupid bitches. and that's who they tend to lead them.
Well, I will say this. I heard through the grapevine, and you know, this is absolutely just rumor, but I heard that not only, I mean, I think people suspect it with the Democratic Party because of the shape they're in Marion, but that both parties are having trouble getting people on their central committees, and that was one of the issues with getting this council person in the 4th Ward appointed by the Republican Party, which they had every legal right to do in the beginning. I think people are not as engaged. That's why when people always talked about the Republican mafia or whatever they called it in this town, and I said, I think that's a dream you're living in. Now, do they maybe plan against the Democrats? Yes, but do the Democrats plan against them? Of course they do. What do you think these protests are? But as far as the solidity of or the validity, I should say, of the groups, I don't think people are wanting to be on these committees. I don't think they are as filled as people think. I mean, people will show up for a free dinner and an election night party, but I don't think they're as engaged as people think they are. And that commissioner's race, as disjointed as that was within the party, that should tell you something.
I think we all need to think long and hard about the people that we are electing, and hopefully some people will come forward and run for office. I will say at this point I'm considering it more than I have in the past.
Well,
my tendency to call people jackasses might serve as a problem. But when it comes to the speech situation, if they go ahead and pass the time limit, you know, if that's what they really feel like they need to do, I hope we all remember that when they're up for re-election, and I hope we remember not or do not give them the opportunity for four-year terms.
Well, as I said, the only two people, and I can't be sure, but I have talked to two people, one who said they were interested in running in the 6th Ward, a Democrat, and one who said they were interested in running in the 1st Ward. So whether they do it or not is much like the county commissioner talk that I heard earlier this year. Obviously, that did not happen. I don't believe she got the signatures she needed. But I do know that there are at least people who are interested in running as Democrats for those two wards next year. So, I mean, if you opted for an at-large seat or the 4th Ward, I mean, I certainly think those are winnable.
There's been some low-key efforts on my part to try to organize some people in the vulnerable wards. First Ward and Second Ward could easily be flipped Democratic if a candidate was put on the ballot.
First Ward has been Democratic 80% of the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm. So it could easily be flipped back, especially with the video and the stuff that I've got of Sean Barr, because I would just... See, that's my thing.
Well, in the second...
Would I run my own campaign, or do I want to stay out of it and run against all of the people that are up there, and because they could all be beaten on their record.
Well, but if you run, I mean, you do run as a group. I mean, or at least you should.
Well, do they want to affiliate with me?
Well, I don't know. As long as you show up to the meetings, I don't think they'd have a problem. I don't think anybody's blackballed. Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I guess we'd see on that one, because remember, I supported Ayers Ratliff, too, and you get a certain level of heat from that, because there's people in the Democratic Party that don't want to support him still.
Well, I don't... I mean, he was at the meeting, the Central Committee mm-hmm. meeting, in which they tried to get... that they appointed Kreider to run for the at-large seat. He was there.
I had higher hopes for Kreider. But as far as their situation with Mary, somebody needs to get Mary under control.
Well, there's a seat you could run for.
They need to have a talk with Mary. Because I'd let people talk. I mean, I'd let you call people sons of bitches
That's your discretion. Run for it.
And then everybody in the box would get gaveled. I'd be like, no. None of that.
I don't know. I just think the mayor's going to be up next year. I think the president...
Who's going to run against him? Who's going to want this? And, oh, there's a big article in the Marion Star today. Speaking of who's going to want to run for this. It's about the... financial plan, the recovery plan. And he said that the state has told him that we're still a couple more weeks out from an answer.
That sounds about right.
And is that 2.5 months?
Somewhere in there.
Waiting after our first plan was rejected.
But I honestly would have to believe, unless something went really wrong at this point, that they are going to accept it, because it seems like they do not want to take over this city, and that's why they're down here so much, and they're trying to say, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, and this will put you on the right track. I can't imagine they're if they wanted to deny the plan as it was and not give the city any help, I think they would have done that rather quickly. I don't think they'd be down here 2 and 3 times a week.
I don't know about that. They might be gathering information to put together what they think the plan should be.
Well,
and then implement it.
Well, like I said, a lot of movement has happened in the last couple weeks. I mean, we've had the fire station rented out. We have had the curbside recycling officially announced and the date certain to dump it.
In the newspaper that they've went ahead and started implementing parts of the plan, even though it hasn't been accepted yet.
Right. Well, there you go. I think that's the sign. I think that's what the state has come down and said, and I think they're trying everything they can to do that at this point.
Well, why would you submit a plan saying this is what we're going to do and then not do it until months later?
I think that's what the problem was when they submitted it on April 6th. I think the state said, okay, well, have you done this? And they said no. And this is what I come back to saying in hour number one. Bill Collins, and this is not a knock on him, he's not an accountant. He's not an auditor. He's not a treasurer. That's not his job. And he drew up that plan. And he's not a legislator. I mean, he's never been in legislative government ever. And I don't consider the mayor really to be legislative government. So the man has no experience in legislative government. I don't think he understood that's what you have to do. And I think the state is pointing that out to him, that you actually have to do this stuff.
Well, remember, the budget was still $6 million over projected revenues that we passed also, and we've not adjusted the budget at all either.
Right. Well, it's a lot of things, but I do believe that Bill, more than anybody else, wants to get the nose up on this ship, because I don't think it's helping him any. And as far as running against him, I would not be surprised if somebody did. Matter of fact, I will guarantee somebody will run against him because I don't think the Democrats can take that type of a blow. I honestly don't think they cannot run somebody for mayor. I mean, I just don't think they can. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of Marion. Even when the Republicans were sure they were going to lose against Schertzer, they ran somebody. They were awful candidates, but they ran them. And even when the Democrats were sure they were going to lose against Kellogg, they ran candidates.
Well, but I mean, they didn't have anybody to run for mayor until Glenn asked if he should run for mayor, like, you know, like shortly before the deadline.
But you gotta understand that problem. That problem arose because I don't believe Schertzer told them that he was not running again. So they weren't planning for him to leave. They had like a month to find somebody, and I think that's what happened there.
And since it is a full-time job, I mean, a month is a very short amount of time. That's like, I hope they're looking now for someone.
Oh, I would think they'd have to be.
That wants to run next year.
I think there'll be some. I mean, if they had to pull somebody totally out of obscurity, I think they would do it at this point, just to have a candidate on the ballot with all the things that Bill has had to face.
They couldn't find somebody to run for treasurer, and Tom Panett said he would do it if they asked.
Well, that's my point. That's my point.
Like, I don't think they're exactly, you know, flying a straight line at this point.
No, but I think there are people in the party now who are pointing that out, like Ken Halloran. I think Ken Halloran, if he doesn't win in the 86th district, would run for mayor.
I hope he does. I hope he does.
Yeah, well, if he doesn't win, I think he would run for mayor.
I saw one of his ads for 86th District today, and I thought that he would be a great mayor for Marion.
Well, he's got a billboard on Route 95.
Yep, I saw the billboard.
And he's running to win.
I wholeheartedly believe that. I don't believe that he's just being a placeholder or anything like that. I believe in his heart the man wants to win. Now, unfortunately, I don't believe that he has the money to overcome the Ben Weber machine.
Well, that's going to be a much more difficult race than the Bill Collins race would be, because the last mayoral race, how many people voted in it? Just over 1,000? I mean, 2,000? It wasn't a lot.
Really?
Yeah, it's not a big thing when the city votes, because those are off-year elections. They're not presidential years. They're not gubernatorial years. I mean, what was it? I mean,
so it's doable. It's doable is what you're saying.
Well, that's what these council seats are, like 200, 300 votes.
Twyla Lang was like 110 votes in
right.
the ward.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think people realize that these are not big turnouts. I mean, at all. I don't know where this idea. The percentages sound enormous when you win.
Well, but when you start hearing that you need to spend $8,000 for 100 votes, you know, it starts sounding daunting.
Oh, I don't know who says that.
When
That's
was,
nuts.
What? Colin was elected in 23?
23, yeah. We'll get the exact vote count here, but it's
okay,
not
well,
much.
I know Ralph Smith spent a significant amount of money to unseat Schauber, and that was just the primary.
Well, I think primaries are different. I think because in the general, if you've got Democrats in your ward, they're not going to vote for the Republican. A primary is different because you've got to convince that electorate to vote for you over the other person. Do you have it?
Yeah, 7,371 for the mayor.
Really? 7,000? Well, now we're saying it, but that was that weird year. Go back to 20. That was the marijuana election.
I was going to say it was the marijuana and abortion year, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the bad year. Go back 4 years prior to that.
Huge,
when Scherzer last.
Huge.
Yeah, that was a skewed number. Go back to 2019 when Scherzer was up for re-election for the fourth time, and you'll get a better idea. That's why people look at that year and they don't realize. I think the Democrats look at that year.
Well, the Democrats did not do well. That, like, Glenn lost by almost 2,500 votes.
Right, but normally that amount of people don't turn out.
Yeah, we all came out to vote for the marijuana.
And
also,
the abortion.
In 2019, 5,062.
5,000. There you go. In the whole race, right?
That's for mayor.
For mayor. Okay. And
total ballots cast, 11,618.
11,000 in 2019. Not a whole lot.
618. Oh, 11,000. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Not a lot.
But that still would have, there would have been countywide issues too, I'm sure. So
there would have been. It's just, it's not a lot. It's not a lot.
It's doable when we're in this situation.
And by the way, how much, that's the Democrat. How many votes did Scherzer get?
Scroll up. Scherzer got
2,542
to win. Sue McGowan took 393 votes. Kevin Norris, if he had those 393 votes, would have, I guess he still would have lost.
How many votes did Kevin Norris have?
2,127.
Okay, and Scherzer had how many?
2,542.
There you go.
It would have been a lot closer. Scherzer still would have won, but by, like, not even a whole percentage.
So to win, it's like 2,500 votes.
Yeah.
And no Ralph Perot / Sue McGowan. Splits.
Right. Yeah. Well, which, you know what? I don't know. That maybe there will be an independent. I think an independent could win. It wouldn't be unheard of.
The Democrats are going to need to organize and come together with their money, and that's unfortunately even the small town politics have come down to the money now. And it's going to be getting their name out there. It's going to be getting their face out there. It's going to be, I'm not making it known that I'm not this person. And as much as I hate to say it, the Democrats are just going to have to stay away from the social stuff on a local level. Concentrate solely on local issues that we're going through right now.
Yeah,
you support all the social issues that you want, but you cannot make them part of a local campaign and expect people to even consider switching their votes.
Well, I don't think most people do. Honestly, in local campaigns, I don't think most people are even aware what people are running for. I think that is a race. See, here's what the key is to the local races, which people don't seem to understand. If you have a Democrat running in every one of the wards, knock doors in your ward, which is not a big thing to do because you only need to get like 200 to 600 votes. So if you've got all the wards doing that, chances are, if they vote for you and you mention who's running for mayor, that's going to translate into them. So if a Democrat has somebody running in every ward, they are going to give the Democratic candidate for mayor a much better chance to win.
Spears, you're going to get accused of being a liberal because you're giving out some great campaign strategy right now.
Well, but that works for the Republicans, too. That's why
Now, listen, see, I had considered primarying little baby boy Stevenson because I'm a Republican now.
And oh, that's right, you're a Republican.
Going on the ballot uncontested and winning the seat, winning the fourth ward. However, since I've never ran as a Democrat, I'm allowed to... I've never ran for office, so I wouldn't be changing my candidate affiliation. I would be allowed to run as a Democrat if the Democrats would have me. So now what it sounds like I'm better to do is wait for him to just go ahead and win his primary and get on as a Democrat and beat him as a Democrat. And
well,
then hopefully my popularity would help carry our Democrat to the mayor's office as well.
Well, that's well, you know, if
are we listening, Democrat?
Well, I hope somebody calls Tom Pannett either for... now, there would be a good candidate for mayor, either mayor or sixth ward. I asked him about a sixth ward seat, and Tom Pannett said he was not disinterested in that.
I have friends that are, because I'd shared that the Democrats are looking for central committee members, and I told people, telling people, this is your chance to get involved in a conversation. You may not know what's going on or whatever, but reach out, and if this is something you're interested in, this is your chance to start getting prepared for the next election. And I have people that are contacting me that are interested.
Well,
so,
Bud Lane, who just had a nice article written about him in the newspaper, he ran as a Democrat for office at one point. And I told you there's somebody in the first ward who I've talked to who said they're interested. I don't know if they'll get it together or not.
I know someone that would have ran in the second ward, but it was thought that Ayers was running, and they didn't want to run against
Ayers. Well, there you go, and that was Democratic for 20 years. So, I mean, there's a lot of material there. So you and Kreider, I'm sure, will run for re-election. So there's a Democrat.
Well, he better step in line then and be a better Democrat, because I don't want to be part of that party, if that's the case.
So you're not a Scott Kreider Democrat?
No, if we're staging a resistance, we're going to need a little more resistance than that.
Well, we'll see if the people run. Well, like I say, I hopefully when we keep listening this morning, if you can, I'm sure there'll be a lot of interesting stuff going on here. But don't forget us on the tour of free speech.
Never, Scott. This is a win for the people. I know I'm talking about the victory tour and whatever. This is a win for everybody. This is a win for the people. I really want people to understand and hope and believe that. But this is, I'm standing up for our right to petition our government and to say, I think this is wrong and that you shouldn't be doing this. Without being called names, without being afraid to show up in a building, without being ruined publicly, without being ruined financially. I was standing up for all of us, and it really was a win for all of us.
Well, citizens or public officials, nobody should face repercussions for speaking up.
Especially when the things that I was saying, you know, I really did start out trying to be nice, and I really did start out trying to point out and say, hey, these things aren't right. These things, we shouldn't be doing this. Hey, we have financial issues. We shouldn't be doing this. Hey, we're going to have problems if we keep doing this. And everyone that did that, Schauber did it, Ayers did it, I did it, Edwards did it, and look what happened to all of us. And you know what? Ayers won, I won. Schauber got out of politics, so I think he won. And unfortunately, we ran Edwards out of town. But you know what? I'm emboldened. I got a little vindication in my pocket, and you can imagine how far that's going to carry me.
Well, there you go. Congratulations.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You know, you have to fight for what you believe in. Much like I always say, I think city council thinks they're doing the right thing. I think Mayor Collins thinks he's doing the right thing. Same can be said for Naomi. I think she thinks she's doing the right thing. I don't know that. What else are you supposed to do in life?
If you thought you were doing the wrong thing, you probably wouldn't be doing it.
No, but people do it. People know they're doing the wrong thing, and they go out there and do it. You know, it's not like that's unheard of.
Well, I mean, I think if you're doing the wrong thing, you know it's the wrong thing. It's because you think it's best for you in the long run.
Well,
like,
that's
like making a vote on something that you don't necessarily agree with because, you know, I don't know, somebody said that they would vote with you on something else.
Like
I'm sure it happens in politics.
No, but I'm saying I think the people who smear people unnecessarily know that that's wrong. I think they know that's wrong. I don't think they have any doubt about that, but they do it for their own personal benefit. That's different than you thinking it's right. I think that the people on council think what they're doing and the way they're running meetings and the way that they are passing legislation is right. I think Mayor Collins thinks what he thinks he's doing for the city is right. I don't have any doubt about that. But people who smear people, I think they know that's wrong. I think it goes through their mind.
I don't know that they do.
Well, if they're that unaware, then what can you do?
Well, there's some unaware people.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think if you thought it was wrong to smear people, you probably wouldn't be smearing people.
You do it for personal gain.
No, yes. By and large, the majority of people recognize that smearing people is no good. But I think that...
You're doing it for personal gain. I'm not saying you're not gaining anything, but you know it's wrong. You could rob a bank for personal gain. You probably know it's wrong.
I think you'd rationalize it to yourself.
No, they don't. They don't.
Then you wouldn't. I don't think you would do it.
Do you know how many people I've had come back who have said things nasty or at the time they thought came off nasty and come back and apologize? Why do you think people have come on who for periods of time would not come on and then come on and say, you know, I was wrong about that? And because they knew at the time that was they were wrong about it. They were just trying.
Oh, no, I think hindsight might be 20/20.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is at all. I think if I smeared somebody today to get somebody back for whatever reason, I know why I'm doing it. I'm doing it to get them back. And I know it's wrong. It's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, but somebody who would smear somebody would probably say, well, they smeared me.
Right.
So they deserve it.
But that's not right.
Well, I didn't say
and
it was.
I just
think that they think that.
So you really think that's right? You think in their mind they're going, this is the right good thing to do.
It's the same concept as like evil people. I think if evil people thought they were evil, they probably wouldn't do what they were doing.
No, that's your... No, no, that's...
It's the same concept. If I knew what I was doing was wrong, I probably wouldn't be doing it.
No, I think... No, you're talking on different scales here. These are two different questions. I think leaders who enact policy that hurts people and does bad things... They don't get up in the morning and say, I'm evil, and look in the mirror. A person who goes out and murders somebody one-on-one, they know murder's bad. They know what's going to happen to them. But they do it because they're overcome with emotion. They do it because they're overcome with rage. They do it because there's been an affair. They know it's wrong.
If you're overcome with something, that's going to be like temporary insanity or something. Crime of passion.
But they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong when they're strangling that person with their own two hands. To my knowledge, Hitler did not take his hands and put them around anybody's neck. Hitler was not down at the gas chamber flipping the switch. But his policies and his thoughts did that. So do I think he thought he was doing the wrong thing? Or thought he was evil? Probably not.
I don't know. Did you ever read Mein Kampf?
Yes.
I read both volumes of Mein Kampf.
Is there any evidence that he went down there and did all that personally?
No, but he blamed the international Jew and says that, like...
And by the way, his people all testified. Hold on. His people even testified.
It's a different kind of text.
His people, Goebbels, his minister of propaganda said, I knew it was wrong. And they said, well, why did you do it? Because Hitler would have hung me up like...
Would have.
Right, but that's...
I agree.
But that's exactly why I'm right and you're exactly wrong.
Well,
I need a break here, so you have to shut up for a second. I got a break. The point is that... Hitler believed he was right, so him giving the orders, he thought he was right. He absolutely thought he was right. But the people carrying out the orders who had to do it, they absolutely thought they were doing wrong. And that's it. No more talking this hour. We're going to break.
The Marla Gibbs had better rhythm to me.
Marla,
so I don't know. That's why it was successful.